Today's show is sponsored by Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology. Regular use of Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield provides a continuous, invisible shield of protection against dandruff, itch, and dryness, renewing your protection with every wash. Get up to 100% dandruff protection that's never not working with Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology, available at Walmart.com.
Foot Clan, today's show is brought to you by Manscaped, the best men's grooming products, the best body hair trimmers on the market, and they have their new Performance Package 4.0. Inside that, you're going to get the Lawnmower 4.0. That's what I was talking about, the best body hair trimmer. You get the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. You get a deodorant, a toner. There's boxer briefs, a travel bag. This is everything you need to make sure that you're keeping it right, keeping it tight, grooming that body. It helps you feel better. When you take care of yourself, you just feel better, and Manscaped is helping you do that. Their fourth-generation trimmer, it's got cutting-edge ceramic blades to reduce the grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe TM technology. It's a 7,000 RPM motor. No body hair is safe from the lawnmower. It's got a 4,000K LED spotlight just in case you can't see what you're doing. You got to check them out. They are my go-to for my men's grooming products. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code footballers20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code footballers20 at manscaped.com. Trust me. Go check them out, manscaped.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in.
It's Ingram time.
Ingram time?
That's for you, boys. Do you not even know what's happening tonight?
Oh.
Pull your head out of your butt.
That
was just for you guys, and you both gave me a lemon sour face. I take it back. I hope you both lose.
Oh, don't you put that evil on me. Here's the truth. Here's the honest truth, Mike. And for the record, I blame you 100%.
I don't even know what you're talking about. So I don't have anything going on tonight.
You said Ingram. I swear you said Ingram. Like Evan Ingram.
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 And the absence of football was my sour face.
Okay.
It's like
I stand by it.
You want to see the movie you came to see. And they might show you a different movie that's real clever. But I bought a ticket for football time and I got Mark Ingram. So I mean that exchange.
Footland, it's football time for you.
You know
devastating loss time for these two clowns.
The reality is
trying to pump you up.
I think what we all just experienced here is what we're going to experience tonight, right? We're all
Mark Ingram.
Yes, we're booking a ticket for football time. We think we're going to get a football game, and instead we're going to get Mark Ingram. We're going to be like, I wanted to come see a football game.
It's come full circle here. I don't think we can renew ourselves into Mike's good graces for the remainder of the day.
Oh, we're dead.
Yeah, no, it's done.
But we are full circle. We're getting Ingram time tonight.
Check out my spinoff podcast debuting later tonight.
It's called Ingram Time.
Called General Mills and the Jets.
It's just sound effects and me going pew pew pew.
Yeah, I'd love it if Mark Ingram had more than 9.5 carries. Honest with you. I will not specify why.
No. I would also really like Christian McCaffrey to have over 45.5.
I'm super into
yards.
Mark Ingram 9 carries tonight, fellas.
9. Oh, come on.
You are the devil.
You are. We also have a fantasy football podcast too. Continue with here. The judge, the owl, both present. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
Doing great.
Okay. Well, that's good. We have fantasy forecast, starts of the week, news and notes, never not working, the boom, boom kicker. And we'll work our way back into Mike's good graces by the end of today's show.
I think
show.
We will.
We'll see. We'll see how it goes. Twitter at the FFBallers. Jointhefoot.com. That is our fantasy football community where you get a bonus weekly show. We have the Injury Blitz podcast. We have the community now with the Discord server, with the community forums. It's kind of where you want to hang out throughout the season. So check that out at jointhefoot.com.
Never not working.
Presented by Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield Technology. Available at Walmart.
All right, never not working this week. As fantasy players, we always want to do the extra thing, the better than your league mates thing, so that you can get an advantage each and every week, because one win leads to another win, and then you're in the playoffs, and then you dance and sing and all that good stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you've got to be keeping it real throughout the week, and I think at this point in the week, the number one storyline or things that you need to kind of get your house in order upon is the situation with Elijah Mitchell,
mm-hmm.
the situation with the 49ers running backs, which if you haven't seen, they've signed them all. They've signed all of the running backs.
Yeah, we got more yesterday.
I mean, I'm telling Chris Thompson, right?
Yes.
Added to Kerryon Johnson.
To the practice squad.
I mean, there are a million running backs there. And so when we're bringing this guy in to work out, or we're signing this guy to the practice squad, when all these things happened, it was a decent red flag, right? It said that we knew Jamichael Hasty was definitely going to be out. But Elijah Mitchell got a little bit banged up in that game. He hurt his shoulder, I believe.
The word yesterday was it's a little bit more than a stinger. Originally, it was a stinger. Expected him to go. Now he missed a day of practice.
A stanger.
A stanger. That, is that know. Worse than a stinger?
Yeah. Maybe. Well, that's a grade two stinger is a stanger. And so what's happening here, Trey Sermon is in the concussion protocol. But here's
limited,
what you need to be
limited practice.
Aware of, Foot Clan, is that San Francisco plays Sunday night.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not have pivot options, we don't know who the starting running back is going to be. It could very easily be Elijah Mitchell, and great, he gets the green light. He's back practice. If he is active, I would expect him to be the primary running back. If he is not active, Trey Sermon could go through the concussion protocol. You can look on your waivers. Plenty of leagues, I'm sure that people had to make the move and drop Trey Sermon. If he clears and Elijah Mitchell is out, then it's finally Trey Sermon time. And then the other name to know.
There's one completely different outcome. You're about to say it.
Exactly. It's Jacquez Patrick. Who? Jacquez Patrick was.
XFL star.
XFL star. He was a practice squad player for the Cincinnati Bengals. And he was signed. We mentioned him briefly, I believe, in the news yesterday. But he was signed off the practice squad, which means he is for sure active on the 53-man roster, and he stands against that roster for 3 weeks. So if those other – he is someone you need to pick up. If you've got Elijah Mitchell or Trey Sermon, you need to have
the
backup.
My roster doesn't have the amount of spots it needs to manage the situation. It's enormously frustrating.
They're building an army.
I'm going into Sunday night football, and I'm building my battle plan for Sunday night. And I have Jacquez Patrick, right? So I can pivot from Elijah to Jacquez. I checked every single league that I'm in. Sermon's rostered in every single one of them. So he's not an option for me, but you could try to trade for him on the cheap before you could potentially see this happen. I also have some Monday night players I can pivot into, which is, like, it's not the best, but I have Dallas Goedert, right? Like, if I need to flex Dallas Goedert in an emergency because Kyle Shanahanigans decides it's not Jacquez or Elijah Mitchell, I've got a backup plan in either Evan Engram or Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, and that's a good point, that if you have the luxury of making sure that Elijah Mitchell or Trey Sermon or San Francisco running back X is in your flex, move them to your flex so that you can go with other positions.
The name that I would throw out, because he's available, I'm looking on Sleeper right now, and he is available in about 60% of leagues. That's Jalen Reagor, wide receiver for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's getting a lot of play. He just missed out on a touchdown for the second week it would have been his second touchdown in two games. He's the number two guy. While, like, we love Devontae Smith, Rager's playing okay. And I think that if I were counting on Mitchell, my pivot would be Reagor. It would not be to Patrick. I would be way too freaked out for that.
It would just be based on the news. It would be Kyle Shanahan coming out and, like, if it's Patrick and then Sermon's inactive and Elijah's inactive, then you can feel confident throwing him out there based on the fact they signed him and he's forced under the 53. But I think,
we didn't even mention Trent Cannon. It could end up being Cannon. That's why if it's not Elijah,
you're right.
I'll go to my algebra. If Elijah Mitchell is active, I would play him.
This is the if this yes. then that of fantasy yes. football?
If he is out and Trey Sermon is active, I would play Sermon. Otherwise, I would go to Rager.
What about crying? Is crying an option?
Oh, yeah, every single time.
I don't think it's not an option.
I recommend you combo that with a shower, though.
There is crying in fantasy football.
Yes, there is. A lot of it. Of course.
See Mike's first 2 weeks. So I think, and then the overarching never not working tip here is that these situations, is they exist every week. Sometimes you have Monday night football games with injury questions. You need to have a pivot option ready. You can pick them up. In a lot of leagues, you know, you have Sunday players locked, but you can pick up Monday night players
yes.
in the morning on Monday. Make sure that you are planning ahead. I mean, that is the situation. You don't want to be caught with your pants down. Yes. All right. Trust me, it's embarrassing.
So, for instance, if you have Elijah Mitchell and you'd rather play him over James Robinson,
mm-hmm.
just make the call before, because you might not know. So just put in, you might have to put in your other running back who plays early in the morning, even if it's a lower tier guy. You know, you're yeah. throwing in, you're like, your only other option is Kenyon Drake. Well, then you gotta put him in your lineup, maybe.
Okay, all right, that makes sense, and. A reminder, get up to 100% dandruff protection. That's not crying protection. That's just dandruff. It is in the shower, though.
Yes.
That's never not working with Head & Shoulders Scalp Shield technology available at Walmart.com.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by Sleeper.
The Colts may play Brett Hundley and Jacob Eason?
No. Two wrongs don't make a right, Colts. I don't think they are aware of this.
Oh, that is.
The reality here is that Carson Wentz, they are planning on Carson Wentz to not play. They're still hopeful. There's still a slim chance Carson Wentz is able to play. And in the event that he does not play, which is the current expectation, they looked at their roster and said, okay, we have Jacob Eason, and we have a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
So they went and got Brett Hundley, and I would expect him to start over Eason because Eason's terrible.
This is why I'm fine in DFS and in streaming playing the Titans defense this week.
Sure.
Justin Fields will start against the Browns in week 3. Mike, against all odds, Justin Fields starting. I know you were not sure of this.
I have sources inside the Browns locker room. This threw them. Like, their entire game plan for this weekend completely destroyed. They looked at the news that Andy Dalton was questionable. They had fully prepared for Andy Dalton. They may not even show up now on Sunday because they're so
smart of Nagy.
They've been so outsmarted by the budget magician. Like, we can't handle this news. So I'm sorry, Cleveland.
Odell Beckham Jr., full participant in practice on Wednesday. He will play. He's going to be back.
Here we go.
Barring a setback at practice that's like a new injury.
And assuming that the Browns do actually
show
play.
Up.
Yeah, then yes. Very fair point. And just it's easy to besmirch Odell Beckham after the last couple of years.
Yes,
but this
accurate.
Like, this is just a pep talk. Odell, fantasy football is so much more fun when you are out there dominating. The NFL is more fun. So come on, man, be good.
We talked about Trey Sermon limited on Wednesday. Elijah Mitchell. I hope we get a lot more clarity over the course of the week. Let's put it that way. That we'll give you the practice reports.
We did just get a quote from Browns beat reporters. Odell says, we'll see if he's going to play.
Maybe that is a bit of... See, that to me, just hearing it, is a bit of a shot at the coaching staff. Like, hey, what did Austin Eckler tell us on the show? Players play and coaches coach. And I think he expected to be out there before week 3. So, T. Higgins didn't practice. Day-to-day with a shoulder injury. Kenny Golladay limited with a hip injury. Boy, I don't like hearing Kenny Golladay and hip injury after last year.
Yeah.
That's not good. Evan Engram, a limited participant.
He could.
There's a world where Evan Engram gets all sorts of targets if Kenny Golladay was out.
And there's also a world if Kenny Golladay is out where Sterling Shepard just continues to be a very good fantasy option. So if he's on your waiver wires, pick him up.
Yeah.
And always Engram consider the fact that Daniel Jones is setting us up for
one
of the worst performances of his career.
Huge betrayal.
Josh Jacobs, sidelined during Wednesday's practice, will monitor him. Laviska Shenault, practicing in full, will play against the Cardinals. Really quick here, 1 week of kind of like low-value, high involvement for Laviska Shenault, 1 week of complete nothing. Is he a drop candidate to you?
He is a drop candidate just because it depends on the league format. In PPR, I'm less likely to drop him because his manufactured touches will count for something. But the problem is the usage that we did see, it's got to be like all yak. And so I worry about those players a lot of time.
And his quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, is going deep more, either the first or second in the league. Like, he's being very aggressive. He's also not been very good with his deep passes. I don't see a world where Chenault overtakes both Marvin Jones and DJ Chark in terms of high value targets.
I think I still like Chenault over DJ Chark.
Okay.
Chark is catching 25% of his passes. Did you realize that?
I also said Trevor Lawrence has not been good.
Marvin Jones isn't catching 25% of his passes. So you're right, though. I mean, I think they're number one in neutral game script passing.
Are they?
69%. I might have that number wrong. I don't know if somebody, Brooks, you want to look at that. But I saw a metric that just alluded to what you're saying, that they're throwing the ball a ton. Jamison Crowder did not practice Wednesday.
Yuck.
If you're ready for the Braxton Berrios target experience.
It's going to keep happening.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great. I mean, like, every day at lunch around the studio here, we crinkle up our bags and we take deep shots into the trash. This would be like standing there from a foot away. Like, it's going to go in, but where's the glory?
Mm-hmm.
That was today's News and Notes. The leader in breaking news alerts is Sleeper. Download the Sleeper app. Join their breaking news alert. Breaking.
Whoa, oh, no. Oh, no. We're sorry, Sleeper.
That was Newts. I don't think they've added what I may have said. Faster than every other source at breaking news. Into the forecast.
Fantasy forecast.
It's been a rough morning. We had a flat tire that we were dealing with this morning.
It's always fun.
Kids going crazy. But I'm here. Just a few snafus. Bad stories from around the office. Thursday night, we talked about it on yesterday's show. So if you want the Ingram breakdown, you can scroll back and click on yesterday's episode to get the Texans and the McCaffreys and the breakdown. Let's start here with the Washington football team at 1-1, traveling to take on the Buffalo Bills at 1-1. DraftKings Sportsbook line here, Bills -7.5.
Whew.
The over-under is 45.5. Honestly, I'm a little surprised at the line. I think it speaks to the Bills' struggle so far this year on offense.
Like, you think that they should be favored by more than 7.5?
I do. I think at home last year, this matchup happening with Taylor Heineke at quarterback, the way the Bills were playing last year, I do think the line would be bigger. And I've seen it bounce between 7.5 and 8.
Yeah.
But what are the big decisions for fantasy players in this game? Right now, Josh Allen has not been the stallion. It's been shaky. So that being said, he had a touchdown taken away from him last game. He would have had a 30-point week, and we might not have been talking about him the same way.
And we saw 3 rushing touchdowns from the running backs.
We did, which is like a
that's
a Bills miracle. One of them was a long run, too.
Yeah, at the end of the year, we'll say there were 3 rushing touchdowns from the running backs of the Bills. And also keep in mind, and granted, this is another difficult matchup, but the first 2 weeks were Pittsburgh's got a great defense, especially in week 1 when they hadn't lost some of their defensive pieces, and Miami is a good defense. So you know, at least what we've been seeing, there is cause for optimism after this week, but it's another tough matchup.
On the Washington side, Terry McLaurin, he's in. Heineke, at least, you know, through this one game, has shown he's going to hyper-target him, which he should. And Heineke, what's nice about Heineke, you know, with the unfortunate situation of Fitzpatrick, is that Taylor has come in and he's aggressive. Like, he doesn't play like a scared backup where he's just trying to check it down. Maybe I'll get a first down here and there. No, he's out trying to win the game. And that turns into, you know, a lot of targets for
our boy. It's amazing how wanting to win the game means throwing the ball to to Terry McLaurin.
Well, I'm like,
no, I'm saying
as opposed to not. I just want to not lose. I don't want it to be my fault.
Well, look, when Hopkins had different quarterbacks come in that were backups,
yep.
The ones that looked the best were the ones hyper-targeting
yes.
him. And so I like that. I'm saying I agree with you. He's actually, last game changed a lot on the season-long outlook for Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, so Terry McLaurin's in. Mm-hmm. And we've been disappointed with, obviously, with Antonio Gibson, another very difficult matchup here. The Bills' defense has looked great, but I would assume he's in most people's lineups.
He is.
Let me ask you a rest-of-season question for Gibson. Gibson okay. or David Montgomery, rest of season?
That's a good one. I'm going to go with Gibson. I think what the elite talent we've seen will bear out over the course of the season.
Yeah, I'd stick with Gibson.
Okay, interesting.
I think
total touches will probably be on the Montgomery side, right?
I would imagine because Maybe. Of the passing work, probably it would be on the Montgomery side. Logan Thomas is the third piece here for the Washington football team that not only can you play, but you probably should. If you've got him rostered, I wouldn't pivot to waiver wire type guys at all. Last week you had the quarterback change. Maybe there was some worry. He had 7 targets, which is a dream for tight end. 5 for 45, and last year the Bills were a good defense, but they weren't great against tight end. It's really early to look at this season's tight end metrics. So I prefer at tight end to look at last year's. I think Logan Thomas is a good play this week.
Washington has still thus far shut down the run, so they've been an okay matchup against wide receivers, though. 38.5 fantasy points per game through 2 weeks. You're starting Stephon Diggs always, but yes. Would you sneaky start Emmanuel Sanders?
I would. You're seeing enough air yards. You're seeing enough of those deep shots to him. They're not connecting. We talked about his almost 20 yards average depth of target. That's a bananas number. And Sanders is good enough, and Josh Allen is good enough that we should see those start clicking sooner than later.
16 opportunities for Devin Singletary in back-to-back weeks.
No,
RB 11 last week. No thank you from Mike.
Yeah, no thank you from me. You just brought it up. Washington's been great against the run. They were the second best against the run last year. No.
Okay. All right. Not a fresh and new season for Devin Singletary?
I think it could be a fresh and new season. I'm not out on Devin Singletary on an every week basis, but this matchup, I'm not playing him against the Washington football
and
team.
And Zach Moss was in for 28% of the snaps, 10 opportunities, and you know it came through the pipeline that his week one inactive, while it was a healthy scratch, was more so because they were concerned about the health of Moss. So I expect him to be on the field for more than 28% of the snaps this week.
All right, before we jump into the next matchup, I want to keep it fresh right here with HelloFresh.
HelloFresh!
You get fresh, pre-measured ingredients, mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. You can skip the trips to the grocery store. You can count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. It is America's number one meal kit. I already told you, fall's getting busy. We got flat tires and kids to shuttle to sports games and... Look, HelloFresh recipes save you time that you would otherwise spend meal planning, shopping, chopping. Get back to what matters. They take care of all of that
stuff. And chopping.
Shopping and chopping.
I like that.
That's right. And the nice thing is you can't just have a meal kit. You need a meal kit that has family-friendly menus because
mm-hmm.
then the other people, then you just not just you and your spouse eat the food. Back to school season, easy, delicious, drama-free dinners. That's what I'm into. Go to HelloFresh.com/footballers14. Use the code footballers14 for up to 14 free meals, including free shipping. Once again, that's HelloFresh.com/footballers14 and use the code footballers14 for up to 14 free meals plus free shipping. HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit.
And Foot Clan, if you're looking for NFL action, you want to watch
I am.
All of the games, but unfortunately you might not be able to get DirecTV where you live. It's not a problem because you can stream the 2021 NFL season on the NFL Sunday Ticket, mobile, online, whatever device you want to do, your live out-of-market games every Sunday afternoon. You can go to NFLSundayTicket.tv and see your favorite team, no matter where you're living. You can watch the out-of-market games. You can have the Fantasy Zone channel. You can have the Red Zone channel. You can stream them all. You can watch the 30-minute recaps. You can follow up to 20 of your favorite players every Sunday. It is a really, really nice thing, and you could do it even if you can't get DirecTV where you live. There's no satellite required. Go online to NFLSundayTicket.tv/SundayReady right now to see if you are eligible. Pro tip, use promo code BALLERS2021 at checkout, and you could save 15%. Again, to see if you're eligible for the NFL Sunday Ticket streaming package, go to NFLSundayTicket.tv/SundayReady and use the code BALLERS2021 to save 15% when you sign up.
The Chicago Bears travel to Cleveland. We're just talking about this matchup. The Browns, 7-point home favorites over on DraftKings Sportsbook. Over-under is 46 points, and this is my
Andy's Almost Upset of the Week.
I think the Bears win the game. I think Justin Fields' debut.
That's not almost.
Is a victory. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think they
There's
almost,
rules here.
They
Andy.
Almost win the game, just like the Cowboys almost beat the Chargers last week in my other almost upset.
Ooh.
I like what Justin Fields brings to the table. I've been impressed so far through two games with the Bears' defense. It was a couple big plays against the Rams that made them look bad. But play by play, they've been a pretty stout, pretty strong defensive unit. And the Browns have injuries at wide receiver. They've had struggles at times moving the football. The Bears have been good against the run, the strength of the Browns. And I don't know. I just got a feeling about this one. On the Bears side, starter-wise, you know, David Montgomery's averaging 20.5 opportunities per game. It's funny because Gibson's at 20, so they're both getting a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And Justin Fields, I mean, what is his what does his debut mean for Allen Robinson, Darnell Mooney, and David Montgomery?
When talking about the wide receivers, Allen Robinson's always going to be in your lineup. You start him, he's good. Darnell Mooney is the exciting question here, the one that you're watching on that side of the ball to see if his targets are up near Allen Robinson's, if he's actually able to connect on some of these deep shots. Darnell Mooney has outstanding speed, and Fields can throw a good deep ball. So if you wanted to take your shot, that glory play, and throw Mooney in your lineup, I don't hate it. I mean, it's like, you know, Mike, you mentioned Jalen Reagor. There's always these players who can get a bomb touchdown to save a week no matter how they do in the rest of the game. And Darnell Mooney is in that category with Justin Fields, who himself is definitely a very startable quarterback this week. With his rushing baseline, he should be, you know, a low-end quarterback one.
Yeah, I agree with that. What will be interesting to watch here is how much does Fields actually run when he is the starter, at least for half of practice here.
Right.
Because he wasn't the starter early on. Because last week when he was thrust into game action, that turned into 10 attempts. Now, it wasn't huge yardage on the ground, but those 10 rushing attempts, you know, that's 10 times that he's not dropping back to throw. So let's see what that does for the volume of the pass catchers.
On the other side, you always start Nick Chubb.
Yep.
He's so good at running the football. Kareem Hunt had 38% of snaps last week. Is he flex-worthy in a tough matchup?
I think, yeah.
Do you consider him an every week start?
An every week flex where sometimes if the matchup looks right for him, you can toss him into your running back two consideration.
I love Austin Hooper this week. I think he's going to have an opportunity just with targets and this team needing him. The tight ends were kind of the leaders in the passing game last week, albeit not a exciting lines. But I think he had 5 catches. So I think he is a spot start this week. Beckham.
That's the big question mark.
You can take your chance. That's the big plays is where the Bears have been struggling. They're 28th against opposing fantasy wide receivers this year because of big plays, 42 fantasy points a game. It's hard to imagine, you know, if you distribute, let's say you give them 30. I mean, they've been giving up 42. You give 30 fantasy points to opposing fantasy wide receivers in this game. How does Beckham not end up with half of that?
Do you make the call, let's say it's tonight, you got to play Brandon Cooks, or you are hoping that Odell Beckham plays on Sunday? Is that where's your level of confidence?
I'd probably just play Cooks.
Okay.
And I do the crying thing from earlier. What about you, Jay?
I would go Cooks. If there is a legitimate option, I would rather wait on Odell Beckham. But so that's my approach. And in most cases, I think you will be able to take a wait and see approach. If you're not able to take a wait and see approach and you just really need to start, there's reason for optimism with Jarvis Landry out that he could just be really, really involved and necessary to the game plan. So I don't hate starting him, but this is you want to talk about a really exciting, kind of unexpectedly exciting game to mm-hmm. watch. Paying attention to Justin Fields and Odell Beckham, both sides of the ball, there's something critical for fantasy to get our eyeballs on. I'm very, very much looking forward to this game.
The Baltimore Ravens travel to take on the Detroit Lions in Detroit. DK Sportsbook has this game at Ravens -9. Over-under is 49.5. Gives the Lions 20 points, the Ravens 29. And I brought this up already. Tyson Williams right now, he's leading the league he's second in the league in yards per carry. The Lions are 31st so far through 2 weeks. They're getting run all over. I think Tyson's a great start this week.
He's a sensational play this week.
And I think he has distinguished himself on a couple of the important differentiators for a play caller, which is speed to the edge, explosiveness. Like Latavius Murray, Devonta Freeman, they're going to be worked into situational football, goal line football. But even after the Latavius touchdown last week, they had another goal line opportunity. Now, Lamar ended up scoring, and you get reminded why in the offseason you had doubts about Dobbins or Edwards scoring a lot. But it was Tyson out there.
Tyson
out there. So, interesting matchup.
I think that if the Ravens don't make an adjustment to who's on their active roster, I think you can be confident that this is down to two players. I think it's down to Williams and it's down to Murray. You saw Devonta Freeman get a handoff, and he ended up with a 31-yard carry to the outside, but it was not Freeman who made this happen. This was an incredible run design. The blocking assignments worked to perfection, and as you were watching it, Freeman, he didn't have the juice anymore. Tyson Williams on that particular carry would have scored. And in fact, Devonta Freeman with a 31-yard carry, he saw one more attempt in the game and he finished with 29 rushing yards. Like, I think Freeman is done. It's now between Latavius and Tyson, and we need Tyson to hold on to the ball.
Yeah, that's the issue.
That's the only issue with Williams for me.
Yeah, Tyson has looked really, really good. Fumbled in both games. I don't think he was credited with one in week one, but there was this play where he was going.
It was a -1.
Yeah, and then obviously fumbled on the goal line. If he fumbles again, I think at that point the Ravens have to question, okay, can we trust putting the ball in this guy's hands? But he's looked great. I think you could start both of these running backs because this is a game. They're favored by a ton. The Lions defense has not been good, and you would expect the second half of the game they're just going to be just running the ball all over them. However, to get that lead, the Lions secondary, it's gone.
Yeah,
it was bad to start the year, right? Like, oh, you could throw on the Lions, but they've lost their cornerbacks. They were starting, obviously they had Okuda, the last year's rookie, he's out. And then they had another starter who was a rookie this year who got injured last game. And you saw the second half of how much worse they got. So, you know, you want to fire up Marquise Brown?
Andrews.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean,
zero targets inside the 10 through 2 games for Mark Andrews, which is, like, he's been a touchdown-dependent player for a while. Any concerns with Andrews?
I don't.
The way that people are worried about Kittle.
No, I'm not worried about Andrews. He's not the guy that we saw in Lamar's huge breakout season, because Lamar's not going to throw 35 touchdowns. It's just not the reality, the baseline, the median average for Lamar. But he is going to get his. I mean, you look at last year and weeks 2 and 3. Mark Andrews just disappeared. He wasn't targeted. He had, 50 yards between those two games combined, and everyone was freaking out. And then the next 2 weeks is the tight end three both weeks. So it's just a matter of game flow. I'm fine with Mark Andrews.
On the other side of the ball, you have the king of pass attempts. Jared Goff, 93 pass attempts. The game scripts you're seeing, they're the game scripts you'll see moving forward, which is deficits in the second half, a maybe the best top three check down running backs in football with DeAndre Swift.
Sure.
Which is free yardage for Jared Goff. It's free points for DeAndre Swift. I mean, Swift has been very, very good on a very, very bad team that doesn't have the personnel to compete week to week. 16 targets through 2 weeks. That's one more than Christian McCaffrey. Swift is a must-start rest of season, in my opinion, and I think he may get more than the 60-plus percent of snaps we're seeing right now.
I would agree. He's matchup-proof because you want the opportunity to big, a big play, and the receptions, if you're playing a half PPR, a full PPR, I think those will make sure that he's not going to completely just destroy you on a bad week, whereas Jamal Williams, he is a guy I'm willing to play half of this year. It just depends on the right matchup. This one isn't. Against the Ravens, obviously he could fall in the end zone. He should be involved in the game plan, but it's just tough when you're splitting touches. You've got to have the talent of DeAndre Swift. So he's the only guy on that side of the ball, along with obviously TJ Hockenson. Those two players are...
Do you like him, Hockenson?
I love Hockenson. Those two guys are very, very talented and unfathomably necessary.
And I would say this is deeper league, lower end flex start, but Quintus Cephas.
I love Quintus Cephas.
He's in play for me. You saw 7 targets in week one, despite just 35% of the snaps, and Tyrell Williams is already out. Cephas was the go-to guy that you saw his routes jump up to almost 90%. Another 7 targets. Connected on a deep shot right at the beginning of the game, has scored in back-to-back weeks. So he's, like, I'm not saying start him over your known commodity players, but you could certainly do worse when you're looking for that later week flex play.
I agree. I think he's a good player, and they look for him in the end zone a lot. All right, the Colts at 0-2.
Woof.
With a quarterback problem, take on the Tennessee Titans.
Well, they entered
Tennessee.
The season with a quarterback problem, Andy. Their starter was Carson Wentz.
I think expectations were better than 0-2.
Not from me.
DraftKings Sportsbook has the Titans as 5.5-point home favorites. Over-under is 48 points. Got the Titans in this one.
Yeah,
Derrick Henry is the number one running back right now after a monster week two. He has more fantasy points than 30 other teams' combined running back output. That can't be true. Is that true?
It's very possible. True.
So only the Browns and Lions running backs have more fantasy output at running back than Derrick Henry? Wow.
To be fair,
I believe it. He's kind of like a running back room. He is down the field.
To be fair, when you say, okay, what is the Titans team running back output? It's Derrick Henry. That's basically, he has all of it.
So, yeah, you play him. You play A.J. Brown and Julio Jones in this matchup. The mm-hmm. Colts are struggling on the back end, 28th against fantasy wide receivers. A.J. Brown just needs to catch the ball. Julio Jones, I think it's going to be another big game. I was impressed. 6-for-128 last week. Would have been better if a heel had come down in bounds. He would have had it 6-for-140 and a touchdown, or 7-for-140 and a touchdown. This is the get right game for Ryan Tannehill, I think, as well, in terms of being a viable streaming quarterback. I think I wouldn't be feeling confident in him as an every week play right now.
No, I could agree with that, and I'm a little less confident than you in. I think there's a lot of really good streaming options that I might prefer. I mean, you picked up Justin Fields. I would play Justin Fields over Ryan Tannehill just because there is an output, that happens here where the Colts can't get anything going, and you just don't need to throw the ball much or do anything to win this game outside of Derrick Henry. I don't expect that to happen, but that is. You could see the pathway for that to happen. So Ryan Tannehill scares me as someone to rely upon this week. On the other side, the real question is Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor look, this
he's been getting a free pass.
Mm-hmm. He's been getting a free pass. He has not been good so far this year. The offensive line for the Colts has not been good. Obviously, they rushed their left tackle back. They were down the right tackle, and obviously Quentin Nelson coming back off of injury. They've just not looked right. This is a game and a coaching staff that we've seen this coaching staff adapt to the personnel, which is wonderful. I love that. The problem is they're adapting to real, real, real bad personnel this week if Carson Wentz is out. Say whatever you want and make the jokes about Carson Wentz being bad. He is infinitely better than their backup options here. So I would imagine they're going to try to build a game plan around running the ball as much as possible, shortening this game clock, and giving Jonathan Taylor a lot of work. But on the flip side, you got to think the Titans are going to put everyone in the box.
Right.
So he's a huge question to me. I worry.
Just have to play him.
Yeah.
I'm still playing him. This isn't the. It's not so terrible that I'm thinking about benching him, because you don't have an option that's going to be strong enough to play over Jonathan Taylor. Extremely disappointing if Carson Wentz does not play this week after the big breakout game for Michael Pittman Jr. 12 targets, 8 receptions, over 120 yards. He did an excellent job at finding the soft spot in the zone, finding the place to sit down, and hopefully moving forward with Carson Wentz, he has earned that trust that Carson Wentz will just automatically start looking for him, believing that Pittman is doing the right thing and getting open. But this week, man, with Brett Hundley, even though the matchup is super juicy, I think if you have a double flex, okay, I'm willing to take that shot off of the 100-yard game.
I'm not. I'm not playing Pascal or Pittman unless Wentz is active. I just don't believe in these backup quarterbacks.
Yeah, it'd be scary. It'd be scary if you did it. So you play trembling finger to put him in the lineup.
Like you would,
I'd play Odell Beckham.
Well, yes.
Yeah, but that takes a lot for me to say.
Okay, fine. But let's look at other players. Jacoby Myers against the Saints.
Yeah, I would play Myers.
You would play, Sammy Watkins against Detroit. As I said, double flex.
No, yeah,
I specified lower tier player.
Yeah, I think I would.
All right.
The Los Angeles Chargers at 1-1 take on the 1-1 Kansas City Chiefs. DraftKings Sportsbook line is Chiefs -6.5. Over-under is 55. How are we feeling about Justin Herbert so far this year? He is our quarterback 10 on the week, which is not necessarily a ringing endorsement here. 26th in week one, 21st in week two. Fantasy finishes. You would have expected a lot better than 21st against the Dallas defense in week two.
Yep.
Didn't happen. Now, the pass attempts, 47, 41. You love that. The yardage, 337, 338. You love that. Just no touchdowns.
Yeah, it's really been
wild.
Is that a buy low? It could be, or it could be a problem of this offense in the red zone, and I can't tell which it is. Both games ended up, you know, I had Herbert as my start of the week last week because – you watched him play week one. He looked great, just rifling the most. He throws the prettiest ball in the NFL to me right now. When he throws, it's just a laser beam, perfect spiral. I love what he's doing on the field. But every time he's gotten into the red zone, in the field shortens, he's really struggled. He threw the weird fumble out of the end zone in week one, but then got in to trouble last week, threw some red zone picks, and that's, you know, if you can't score the touchdowns, you're going to be worthless for fantasy. So in this matchup against Kansas City, you would 55 points, you'd expect it's going to be great, right?
I feel okay with Herbert this week.
I mean,
we're excited about Keenan. We're excited about Mike Williams' evolution in the offense. We're excited about Eckler. And Cook is okay in this game. So
I think, yeah,
so there's four pass catchers. How do you not take the pass thrower?
Yeah, no, it's fair, and they're projected for 24 points. So if he just can't turn the ball over in the red zone again.
Well, it gets easy on the other side. And by the way, Patrick Mahomes texted. He's super furious that you said that Justin Herbert throws a prettier ball than him.
He does. A better ball. No.
It's very aesthetically pleasing.
Yes,
I agree
I'm
with
talking
Jason.
About the aesthetics. Patrick Mahomes.
Like, you know, I am more aesthetically pleased by Patrick Mahomes' football.
You know how when you see like water pouring out of a hose or an area, but something, I don't know what the effect is called, but
yeah.
the water is literally not moving in the stream mm-hmm. because it's just so tight together. But you know that the water is on. Like that's what the Herbert ball looks
Mike
like.
Mike gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he throws the second most aesthetically pleasing ball in football. Mahomes, yep. Tyreek, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce, sure.
Yeah.
I would play a player that has what did you say the stat was? 20 or 8 straight 20-point weeks or something?
Nine. His last nine
games
have been
outlandish.
Over 20 fantasy points. The only other player of that caliber is Christian McCaffrey.
Have we had a wide receiver ever do that? Seriously, like... I don't have the answer, but I don't think a wide receiver's done 9 straight 20-point games. Like
Jerry Rice says, what?
Well, okay. When we were tracking players on our phone, I mean.
Yeah, sweet. Sweet 1980s reference, bro.
I think Mecole Hardman's a dart throw in a 55-point game where he was kind of involved last week. You could do worse than, like, would you play Sammy Watkins or Mecole Hardman?
Sammy Watkins.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
But I don't disagree that he's earning more time, earning more.
You want to do a Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman water bet?
Not really, but
come
sure.
on.
Okay, fine.
Water bet.
Oh, those are the kind of bets I love. Now, Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Next topic, please.
No, I mean, this is an important one, right? People have to make a decision as to whether they can start him or not, and I definitely think you could start him. The expectations have to be managed. This isn't a superstar. I think we brought this up on Spotify Green Room yesterday that this is a player who's getting, you know, the vast majority of snaps and usage on a great offense. It hasn't gone his way. He has not gotten the touchdown. He hasn't been receiving the passing work that you want. But at the running back position, I mean, there's a lot of, or even at your flex, there's a lot of questionable starts. And the behind-the-scenes metrics say that he should be fine. This is the Chargers' defense that so far through 2 weeks has given up a lot of fantasy points to running back, a 55-point over-under in a favored game at home. It has not worked out for Clyde Edwards-Helaire this year. But if you think that you're going to go through, you know, 17 games where Clyde Edwards-Helaire doesn't have – he has no good games the whole season – That's not actually going to be what you look backwards and see.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Jason, or Damian Harris against the New Orleans Saints?
Damian Harris.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire or the Gas Man against the Las Vegas Raiders?
Gas Man.
Clyde.
Okay. All right.
The problem with Clyde has never been the externals. Plays on the best offense in football.
It's the internals.
The externals look great. You play the Chargers. You play for Mahomes. Damian Harris, by the way, I tweeted this out yesterday morning or the day before. He's currently number 5 in the NFL at the running back position in total touches. This offense is going
really?
To be. It's going to be Damian Harris through the entire year. Yeah, he is.
Did you?
He is a good player.
He's only seen 4 targets.
Four more than I expected.
But the one target he saw against the Jets, it turned into 2 yards. But did you guys see it? This was like a full jump, 180 catch to contort his body in midair because the pass was so bad, and he came down with it. And you're like, how was Damian Harris making that catch, and you refused to scheme anything
I can tell you why.
To check down to
James
him?
White.
But there's plays where Harris is on the field.
The Saints, let's talk about them here. The Saints traveled to New Orleans or to New England to take on the Patriots. DraftKings has the line at Patriots -2.5. I wonder what the bookmakers are doing, spinning their head about the Saints through 2 weeks because they're doing what we're doing. The over-under is 42.5. Not a high over-under. Two good defenses. Two shaky quarterbacks. Alvin Kamara's been one of the worst per touch from scrimmage backs through 2 weeks, but you're playing him.
Yeah.
It's not a great matchup. Manage your expectations, but you're playing him. kind of the way you feel about Gibson this week against the Bills. You're playing him. Damian Harris, tied with Joe Mixon, second most yards after contact behind Derrick Henry. 26 opportunities, 17 opportunities. That's what I was talking about. Again, not a good matchup for him either, but I'm putting him out there. No question about it.
Yeah, this is a...
You don't bench Damian Harris after those opportunities.
Yeah, this is a very questionable game for fantasy in the sense that, obviously, DraftKings Sportsbook has this as a very low over-under. Not a lot of implied points being scored. And both defenses, we know, are very, very good. I'm not as bullish on Damian Harris this matchup as Andy is. He was obviously, just fine last week against the Jets, but the Saints D line is very, very good. And I'm wondering what we're going to see out of Mac Jones, against kind of someone that I think he hasn't really had to deal with a defense of this level yet. And so I'm just expecting basically a lousy fantasy output. Two teams that are going to need to run the ball a lot, which is good for Damian Harris as far as opportunities. But if you don't score a lot, and
I like both defenses.
Yeah, yeah.
For fantasy, like I play both of them this week.
Who scores more, the offenses or the defenses?
Yeah, I think the game plan for the New England Patriots in every game this year is handing the ball off to Damian Harris and managing Mac Jones. And I think, frankly, that's what the game plan is for the Saints. I mean, the over-under on passing yardage for Jameis Winston was like 212 or 205, something like that. Mm. And I would take the under. I mean, this is not – he doesn't have the weapons right now to have a game. That's what I look at with the Saints. It's like you don't have enough players to give you the game you want unless you're picking up yards out of the backfield with Alvin Kamara. So I just vetted this stat that shows up in the doc about Jakobi Meyers. I can't even believe it. Saw Rondale Moore get a game ball last week, scoring his first touchdown for the Cardinals. Jakobi Meyers has never scored a touchdown.
137 career
what
targets.
What a loser.
137 targets. You look at all of last year, all these games he's involved, never scored. He's never gotten into the end zone. So probably not going to do it this week either.
Mac, you got to help your buddy out here.
Yeah.
Get him a touchdown.
Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith have been not good at all for fantasy purposes. I would not be taking a shot at them in this matchup. And then on the other side, I mean, it's just Kamara, right? And yeah. Bench everybody else?
It's Kamara, Damian Harris, James White. Those are the three options in this game. Both teams are going to run the ball a lot. Yeah. And James White's worth bringing up because he has had six receptions each week, so the baseline is there. Actually got a rushing touchdown last week, which was weird that it wasn't Damian Harris's. I think all three of those are startable. Obviously, Kamara, the only one that's exciting.
Starts of the week.
Starts of the week for week three. Let's begin at the quarterback position. Why don't you kick it off, Mike?
All right. What position did you say? I was not prepared.
Quarterback.
All right. Let's start at the quarterback position. We all know what's coming, but I'm doing it anyways, baby. Daniel Jones, man. He's a top five quarterback right now, and he's Andy's face says it all. Watching the Giants game, the primetime game against Washington was fabulous because I have my chat with you guys, and then I have my chat with my D&D crew, who are what there's a lot of sports overlap
nerd.
Over there. Oh yeah. Big nerds. Big time.
Those guys are big
Those
nerds?
Those guys are...
Yeah, well, not me. I'm the cool one in the group, clearly.
Yeah, you got tattoos.
But, almost simultaneously, I get a message. Jones does something dumbfounding. Get a message from Andy. Daniel Jones sucks so bad. Get a message from my D&D crew. Daniel Jones sucks so bad.
Oh, at the same time?
At the same time, And then the moment right after both of you said that, Daniel Jones just went on a tear and looked great for the rest of the game. He's running at a very high rate. He's getting the opportunities
are there.
People
don't think I can say a nice thing about Daniel Jones. Because, and they're right.
Yeah, okay. Good. Touche. But as of right now, he's a top five guy, and the matchup is there. The Atlanta secondary is atrocious. So if you get the passing game going combined with what Jones is doing on the ground, he's a quarterback one streaming option this week.
For me,
if you have courage.
Yeah, no, he is a good streaming option. I think he was my stream of the week?
Yes.
I agree with you here. The matchup is good, and he's been running the ball so much. My start of the week is Jalen Hurts again. I think at Dallas, look, last week he had exactly zero passing touchdowns, and he finished as the quarterback 10. He had 80 rushing yards. The dude could have 150 rushing yards if they used him more. Like, I'm watching this game.
Justin Herbert had one passing touchdown against Dallas, finished in the 20s.
Exactly.
Jalen Hurts had none against Dallas, and yeah. Now he plays Dallas this week.
Yeah, so, his rushing baseline is so high, and I really don't think that Philly, their defense has been good, but I don't think they're going to stop Dallas. So there's going to need to be more points scored in this game. And Hurts has just been so consistent with his rushing ability as the passing work comes more and more, and I think it can against Dallas. So he's a good start.
Matthew Stafford's my start of the week at the quarterback position. Yes, they play Tampa Bay. No, I don't care. Tampa secondary giving up 300-plus yards in both games. Brady's going to score on the Rams defense, and frankly, the Rams are going to give up on the run against this Tampa Bay defensive front.
The couple games that we've seen McVay play against Tampa Bay, he has completely abandoned the run. He just goes all pass heavy.
And it's worked. And you also have a banged up running back in Darrell Henderson, yep. Who your most trusted running back is hurt. Matthew Stafford is going to have an opportunity in this game to get Higbee involved, to get Woods involved, and obviously Cooper Cup of Coffee is always involved.
Cooper Cup of Coffee.
My running back start of the week. It is Chase Edmonds.
Oh, my.
From the Arizona Cardinals. They're 7-point favorites. The team total is implied at nearly 30 points. He's seeing half the carries. He's seeing four targets a game. Chase Edmonds has been a top 20 running back both weeks without a touchdown. So, like, once those start to hit for him, he's gonna catapult into this fringe running back one discussion.
And my running back start of the week is a guy who has been super disappointing. It's Saquon Barkley.
So it's time?
It's time. Week one.
I completely agree with you.
Week one, he had 48% of the snaps. Week two, on a short week of rest, because it was Thursday night football, he was up to 84% of the snaps and had a 41-yard breakaway run against a very good Washington D line with 16 opportunities. Now we're in week three. He's had extra days of rest coming off the Thursday night football. He's against the New York Giants at home. The New York Giants
he's always playing against his own offensive line.
He is during the week. That's true. That's really, really sad and true. But the Giants are favored. They're at home. They're against Atlanta. Like, if it's not this week, when is it going
to
be?
Well, and every fantasy player has to make decisions with limited information from the year. And so you have to plant your flag. And so I'm with you. I would go – he's a trade target for me. I would be targeting Saquon Barkley because the wheels on the Daniel Jones bus, they fall off right when you don't expect them to. The running game is going to be the key to them succeeding. They have a good defense. I fully endorse that start of the week. And
yeah, you look down and you realize that you never actually had tires the whole time.
You've been riding on the wheels. Yeah, I kept thinking of analogies for the Daniel Jones situation in my head. I spared you for most of them. It was like the good looking food in the fridge that ends up being moldy after you get closer.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's all of those ones. And
you're halfway through and then
And I'll be the first to say he's a great runner. He's a great runner. And that helps the fan. I mean, you run for nine for 94. Don't matter what you do in the passing game. Mm-hmm. And hopefully Kenny Golladay is okay and they can get it going. And I'm happy to eat crow if he's great. But I'm going to bet on the side of the rest of the sample.
I don't blame you.
But this week he could get it done. My running back start, Tyson Williams, running back for the Baltimore Ravens. I want to give everyone out there a pat on the butt. Start this dude this week. 6.9 yards per touch, 6 targets so far this year. Detroit's defense has given up over 30 points to the running back position the last 2 weeks.
Well, yeah, I mean, when Aaron Jones comes to town, what did he catch, 4 receiving touchdowns?
Yeah, one rushing, 4 or 3 receiving.
Okay.
But I think, and one was the old tap pass.
Yep.
Tyson's going to give you 15 points this week. That's what I want to tell you. I think you're going to get that. You saw the carries go up. Keep that in mind, too. 9 to 13 after all this, we're going to activate Devonta Freeman. You know, just deactivate him from your mind and play Tyson.
Can we get Baltimore to start doing the tap pass? Like, it's not
that
hard.
That's a good point.
It's not that hard. You just, instead of holding it for him to grab, just drop the ball.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is, it doesn't even
matter.
Do
it for us.
Like, yeah. It doesn't matter if they fumble, because then it's just an incomplete pass.
Yes. Get it going. All right, my wide receiver start of the week. I'm going a combo off of that game with Tyson Williams. Hollywood Brown, Marquise Brown, he's taking on the Detroit Lions, as we discussed, but look at what is happening for Hollywood Brown. He closed out last year. Over the final six games, he was averaging 14 points per game, fantasy points per game. This year, through two games, that number is at 18. He's seeing a 30% target share, and the Lions' secondary is terrible. I do believe by the end of the game, the Ravens will be running out the clock, but they're still going to pass to get those points at least a little bit, and Hollywood Brown has been playing sensational football.
If you could pick any other player to frolic through the meadow holding the hand of Daniel Jones, it would be Hollywood Brown. Well, I mean, that's a perfect combo where it's – this is a nice start for these two players where they've let you down before.
Mm-hmm.
I've been impressed. Maybe the number change helped him out. Jason, your wide receiver start.
The matchup is so good.
This was the first time in his career that Hollywood Brown has ever actually really had an off season and a full training camp and all of that stuff.
Would you play Hollywood Brown over James Robinson, Marvin Jones, and Michael Pittman?
Not over Marvin.
Marvin's close, but I think I would take. I would go Hollywood.
Because that's what I've got in my lineup, baby.
Okay.
Let's go.
So that was a selfish question.
It was 100%. I mean, it was just a question from me for me. My start
asking
of the week,
for myself.
First time, long time. My wide receiver start of the week is Cooper Cup of Coffee, except nobody has that question after what he's done these first 2 weeks, but he is going to dominate. So I'm going to
say he's hot.
Yeah, he's a hot cup of coffee. Cortland Sutton is
Cooper.
Wide receiver start of the week. Cortland Sutton broke back out last week. He was easily one of my favorite players.
Broke back out?
He did, because he had his breakout 2 years ago.
That's not a phrase?
No, but I can still say it. I can say things that aren't phrases, just string words together.
I love it. Continue.
I mean, 2 years ago, he had his breakout.
Broke back Sutton?
And then... anyways...
Shouldn't have said that out loud.
He was one of my favorite players this offseason. Remember, if you were with us through the whole offseason, I absolutely loved Sutton. He was on route to becoming my guy, and then the injury. It just looked like he was way delayed on his recovery,
yes.
And then his routes and training camp, and he misses preseason games, and you have all these worries. Well, worry's gone. He's back.
What it is now? It's worry's gone?
Yes, it's worry's gone, because my worry was never, ever, ever talent with Cortland Sutton. My worry was health. Is he back to full strength? When will he be the Cortland Sutton that did break out 2 years ago? And it was last week. He was the wide receiver 6, and that was without a touchdown. 9 receptions for 159 yards on 12 targets. I know it was against the Jaguars, but good news. He's against the Jets, so I think you should definitely be starting Cortland Sutton. Without Jerry Jeudy, there was a lot of like, is it KJ Hamler, is it Tim Patrick? It's Cortland Sutton. He's the dude.
Julio Jones is my start of the week at wide receiver. Like I said, I kind of summarized it in the game breakdown, but you know, he's facing an Indy defense that's given up 44 fantasy points to opposing wide receivers in back-to-back games. If Indianapolis decided to watch the film for the previous Tennessee game, I think stopping Derrick Henry will be a priority, which means play action, which means Julio Jones. I think, 8 targets, 128 yards, almost a touchdown. I want to give you confidence to start Julio this week. Put him in your lineup. There were people scared of doing that last week, but get him in there. Mike, finish us off with your tight end start of the week.
And this is
deep.
Let me clarify. This is a tight end stream of the week, and I want to highlight that this guy's name, I like, if I had Jason's guy on my roster, who was a waiver wire pickup, I would play him. But I just want to bring this name up. Gerald Everett from the Seattle Seahawks. He was tied for the 9th most routes at the tight end position last week. He saw his snaps jump all the way up to 80%. He's in the highest over-under of the week with Seattle taking on the Minnesota Vikings. And he hasn't done much. He caught a touchdown in week 1, but That's because everything that Russ and Tyler Lockett are doing right now is working. It's connecting like every single time, and that will not be the case all season long. Tyler Lockett's not going to keep catching 50-yard touchdowns week in and week out. And so Gerald Everett, I think, is a name that you need to monitor, that he could have a four reception, four for 50 and a score this week, and then all of a sudden people are scrambling to pick up Gerald Everett. So if you're in a dirty, mucky tight end situation, I think that you should consider putting Everett on your bench.
Yeah, I think you can put him into your lineup because whenever you stream tight end for the half of the league or a third of the league that really has to find someone every week, what you're looking for is touchdowns, and Russ is going to throw a lot, so there's upside there. My start of the week is Jared Cook. The reason is because when you're rolling with someone like Cook, someone you picked up off the waivers last week, the worst thing you can do when you're in that situation as a team is be completely results-oriented. If you do that, you're always going to be chasing the last week, and you're never going to get the good games. He was on the field enough. He was targeted in the red zone. He even got a touchdown that was called back on penalty.
Yeah.
I personally would not be dropping him to move on to a different guy.
Agreed.
Just always looking for, well, you disappointed me last week. Tight ends suck outside of the top guys, and I'm going to roll again with Cook.
And I'm going to cheat code this one, but I feel like I have to because people are freaking out. We had the Spotify Green Room show yesterday where Jason's player of concern for the rest of the season was George Kittle. It's time to shine. The Packers got torched by Hockenson. They got torched by Jawan Johnson in week one. Put George Kittle at the top of your list this week. I think he's the number one overall tight end at the end of the week. I think everybody takes a deep breath, and they're smiling about their draft capital that they invested. It's time to calm the fears, and George Kittle does it this week.
I like almost everything you said except for the number one overall tight end this week. I think you forgot about Travis Kelce. And I say that because
I expected a Hockenson there, but okay.
No, because Gronk's been unbelievable. Three touchdowns in 2 weeks, super involved. So I just assumed he was the tight end one, and then I was like,
four touchdowns.
Four touchdowns.
It's still Kelce.
He's just he's unbeatable.
I think though that we're saying if you can snake Saquon Barkley away for this week or George Kittle, you would recommend going after both of those guys?
I've got a third one for you, too. You want another trade target?
Yes, please.
DK Metcalf. Go get him now. 11 targets last week. He will be on the other end of these bomb touchdowns. It won't be Freddie Swain, and it won't be Lockett every week. Metcalf is a buy right now. All right. More importantly.
Jason Moore's ironclad, locked and loaded, 100% guaranteed boom, boom kicker of the week.
Well, my bowels are cleared out. Now it's time to hit the hay. Sleep soundly this week with the Rams, Matt Gay.
Yes. First of all, that was very
beautiful.
That was wonderful.
Yes.
Second of all, I'm not sure what sleeping soundly with him means.
Oh, hey, now.
No, I just mean like I guess you sleep soundly because he's in your lineup.
Yes, you sleep like a baby because Matt Gay is out there crushing it.
And then thirdly, this is a narrative that's now, you've crafted 3 weeks of a story. You were pooping standing up last week.
I've been peeing, I've been pooping, my bowels are cleared out, now it's time for a nap.
I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to week four already.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Well, we want to thank pristineauction.com. Kyler Murray signed jersey, $52 right now, ends on Tuesday night. Chris Godwin signed helmet, $50 right now.
Whew. All right.
Hundreds of daily sports memorabilia auctions. Use the code BALLERS at pristineauction.com. That'll do it for today's episode. We'll tackle the rest of the matchups on Friday, tomorrow. Enjoy that Ingram time tonight. I know I will.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.